This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
Hey, it's good to be here this morning. Everywhere I turned, there was another face that I've missed, and I had to hug about 17, 18, 19, 20 people, I reckon, in about the space of 5 minutes, which was awesome. It's good to sit down in the youth section, and I like this little VIP situation going on here. It's good to see so many new faces, so many people I don't know as well, which is pretty awesome. It's a pretty incredible thing to send out a church plant, and I know that that comes at a cost. We send out about 25 people from here to start Greenhouse in Long Jetty, and I know that is an investment and a sacrifice, but it's pretty incredible to see that, you know, over those kind of 9-12 months, I think it's been 8 months since we officially launched, but a little bit earlier as we met with the launch team, to see what God is doing here, not just what God's doing there, which is pretty incredible, but what God does here. And there's something crazy about the kingdom of God when you are open-handed and you're sacrificial and you're generous, that actually God continues to bless what's going on here, and to see so many new people come in, which is pretty cool. So it's good to be here this morning. Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
Good. That's nice. Hey, Mark chapter 10, if you got your Bibles or your phones. Mark chapter 10. You know, one thing that's different about Narara is you don't have any beer here. At our church, we have beer on tap, which is different. But there is a distinct lack of vomit smell here, which is it's refreshing, honestly. Yeah. So, congratulations on your clean building. My church is not like that. So, the other morning we walked into the pub. We meet in like a little auditorium at the back of the pub, and there was a trolley in there, like with three wheels. And I'm like, how did this even? There's no Coles anywhere near the pub. I don't know how that got in there. So there's always something we're finding that we have to get out of the pub on the morning, and, you know, vomit on the floor. So it's good. It's good to be in a nice, clean environment. Mark chapter 10. This whole year, you guys have been working through the Gospel of Mark, the good news of Mark, which is pretty incredible. To actually get into the ways and the words and the works of Jesus. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Then they reached Jericho, talking about Jesus. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Jericho. Oh, hello Siri. Nice that you came to church, that's nice. Jericho is a town in ancient Near East, Middle East area. There's a few key Bible stories that happen through there. There's the time when Israel is going into the Promised Land, and they walk around the walls of Jericho, which was like this military outpost at the time. The trumpet calls, the walls fall down. There's Rahab, who was in there. She helped the spies, and they help her to live, but they destroy the city. Jericho is a place where Jesus meets Zacchaeus in Luke. And this incredible story of Zacchaeus, who was kind of like this gangster, this tax collector, this kind of infamous guy, and Jesus goes to his house and he has this incredible encounter with Jesus. And we see this story as well, blind Bartimaeus in Jericho. And the thing about Jericho is that it's always kind of this city, this town on the way to somewhere else. So when the Israelites came in, it was like Jericho was just a thing to get past on the way through to the rest of the promised land. When Jesus was coming through Jericho and he finds Zacchaeus, he was just passing through on his way to Jerusalem. And it's the same in this story as well. Jericho was like this place that you would just kind of go through. And what we have is Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. Bar just means son of Timaeus. And he's blind and he's a beggar. And it tells us he's on the side of the road. All these people walking through this main road on the way to Jerusalem. The big smoke where everything happens. The center of Israelite culture. It's the temples there. The festivals are there. Everything is in Jerusalem. Everything of worth is in Jerusalem. And so all day, every day, Bartimaeus is there, hearing people walk past on their way through to Jerusalem. But this day was a little different. He heard a crowd, more people than would normally be coming through at that time. There was commotion. And somehow he worked out, you know, hearing the voices, hearing the conversations, that Jesus was amongst the crowd, that the crowd was actually following this guy, Jesus. And I assume Bartimaeus had been sitting there for a long time. He'd heard the stories of people coming from where Jesus was and the stories of this prophet who's healing people, who's teaching, who's talking about the kingdom of God coming again. They're hearing about this man. And Jesus comes through. And Bartimaeus says this incredible statement. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road, hearing the commotion, hears that Jesus is on the move, says this incredibly dense theological statement. Jesus, son of David. That was a title packed with lots of meanings. David was a king, the greatest king Israel ever had. It was Israel's golden age. And there was these prophetic words that through the line of David, there would become someone maybe even greater than David, that would restore Israel to its kind of former glory, that Israel would become a place of God's blessing so they could bless the nations. And at that time, life wasn't like that. The Romans had invaded, the Romans were in power, and so they were kind of under the boot of the Roman Empire. And there was these whisperings of someone who would come, a son of David, a king, a promised king, a king that would restore the kingdom of Israel, a kingdom that would restore the way that things were meant to be. And so there's something about Bartimaeus and his theology that goes, this might be son of David. Jesus, son of David. But he doesn't finish there. He says, have mercy on me. During that time, the prevailing thought was that the Messiah, the son of David, the king, would come. And what other option is there to overthrow the Roman Empire than to start a revolt and come with the sword and come with violence and overthrow using force? Come with judgment on those that have oppressed God's people. But something about Bartimaeus realizes that Jesus, this promised king, wasn't coming with judgment or violence, but was coming with mercy. And mercy triumphs over judgment. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd, they try to silence him, which is kind of an interesting thing. You know, there's lots of noise going around. What's one beggar going to do? But he just shouts louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the most incredible thing happens. It says Jesus heard him and he stopped. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus heard him and he stopped. He heard him and he stopped. He heard him and he stopped. You know, we can read past a little statement like that all the time, but we've got to continually ask ourselves. You know, parchment was not easy to come by. When Mark was writing these words down, he was pretty intentional about what he wrote down. Every detail, every story, there was a lot he didn't write down. Jesus heard him and he stopped. He heard him and he stopped. And this for me represents something that I've been wrestling with for a couple of months now. That there's something about my words that can influence the movement of God. We see it all through Scripture, and it messes with my theological understanding of who God is and His sovereignty in the world and, you know, His plan in the world. But there's something about my words that can influence the movement of God, whether He moves or whether He stops. And that blows my mind. That it's loud, right? There's a crowd of people. They're on their way. There's conversations happening. There's kids. There's donkeys. There's all sorts of stuff. They've got their livestock, probably some of them, to make sacrifices. There's all sorts of noise going on. And yet he hears Bartimaeus on the side of the road in the midst of a crowd. And he heard him and he stopped. That's why prayer is so powerful. That in some ridiculous cosmic way, my finite words can influence the movement of God. And Jesus hears him, and he stops, and he calls him over. And maybe in amidst the noise, Bartimaeus doesn't hear him. And so the crowd says this thing to him. They say, cheer up, come on, he is calling you. I don't know if you've ever felt the calling of God on your life. God calling you towards something, to step out, to start something, to be a part of something, to, you know, pursue a certain relationship, to, I don't know if you've ever felt that sense, but there is something about the calling of God on your life, God calling you into something that brings great joy. Cheer up. He's calling you. Cheer up. He's calling you. I've had a few, not many, but a few moments in my life where unmistakably feel the sense of God's call on my life. Probably the most recent, obviously, is around planting a church. And, you know, one of the hardest things I've ever done, but there's such joy in it. There's such joy in following the calling of God on your life. And even if it's hard or difficult or uncomfortable or sacrificing something, there is great joy in following the calling of God. But the beautiful thing about a calling is that the thing behind the thing is always about moving closer to Jesus. Does that make sense? That Mel and I felt called to plant a church, a whole bunch of other people with us. But that's what we're called to do. But the thing behind the thing is actually Jesus calling us into deeper relationship with Him. It's just He uses that. And when God calls you to step out, to move into a vision, to start something new, to leave something old behind, the thing behind the thing is Jesus actually calling you closer to Him. Cheer up. Come on, He's calling you. And the story says that Bartimaeus, he got up, and it said he threw aside his coat. Now, in the first century, your coat was really important to you because you usually only had one, if you had one at all. It kept you warm, obviously. But for a beggar, what you would do is you would lay your coat out, and then you would sit down, and people, it's kind of the ancient day guitar case when you're busking, and people would throw money into the coat. At the end of the day, you could pick up the coat and have the money there. But it says that Bartimaeus, he got up and he threw aside his coat, which is an interesting thing to do because, you know, you probably still needed a coat. But this incredible symbolic moment that he was throwing aside the thing that he'd been building his life on, the thing that he'd been sitting on every day as people walked past on their journey towards something significant. He's sidelined on the side of the road, sitting on his coat, and he throws it away. Almost to say, I have to leave that behind if I'm going to walk towards Jesus. And, you know, whenever we walk towards the calling of God, whenever we walk towards a relationship with God, there's always some things we got to throw aside, even if they're good things. Because that's not what Bartimaeus was called to build his life on anymore. It served him up to that point, sure. But to step into the next season he had, the next season that Jesus was calling him into, he had to throw that aside. And so he goes up to Jesus, and Jesus says, Bartimaeus, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says, Rabbi, it means teacher. It means rabbi was someone that you would follow around, you would model your whole life off of. Bartimaeus teaches us some good theology in these little statements. Jesus, son of David, king, promised king, he's merciful, he's teacher. Teacher, I want to see. I want to see. And we don't know how long Bartimaeus had been blind for. But he said, I want to see. And the crazy thing is, you know, all through the Old Testament, there's these prophets who did these incredible miracles. And they did almost every miracle that Jesus did. They multiplied food and things like that. They healed people. There was incredible stories of, you know, rain coming, even people being raised from the dead. But not one prophet restored sight to someone. There's no story in the Old Testament where a prophet restored someone's sight, someone's vision. And Bartimaeus walks up to Jesus and says, I want to see. This is something that had never happened before in the history of mankind, as far as we know. I want to see. You see, there's something about a vision, something about vision in our life that we can't get from other people. To have a true vision actually needs to come from Jesus. We can't get it from another prophet. We can't get it from the person down the road. We can't get it from a pastor. We can't get it from a connect group leader, mom, dad, daughter, son, husband, wife. A true vision actually comes from Jesus. And Jesus says to Bartimaeus, your faith has healed you. I love that word healed. In Greek is the word sozo, which is just a cool word anyway, but sozo, anytime you read the Gospels and you see the word healed, Jesus healed someone, that's sozo. But also, whenever you read the Gospel and you see the word saved or salvation, that word is also sozo. Because healing and salvation are interlinked. Healing is salvation, and salvation is healing. Salvation is not just about where we go to when we die. It's about our life right here and right now. It's about our whole selves. It's about our physical health and our emotional health and our spiritual health. It's about what God's doing in my life right now. So Jesus sozoed him. He sozoed him. Healing and salvation. And it says that Bartimaeus followed Jesus down the road. Incredible. Incredible little story, right? A man that was sidelined his whole life as people were on their way to Jerusalem to do something significant. They had a plan. They had a purpose. They were on a mission. He was sidelined. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. Have you ever felt like parts of you were stuck, immobile, maybe broken? I don't know if you've ever felt like parts of you maybe were sidelined while everyone else seem like they've got it together. They're on a mission. They're going somewhere. They seem like their relationship with God is good. Seems like they've got a calling in life or a vision. They're heading towards something, and yet sort you're just there, maybe stuck. Parts of you, all of you. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. But this story teaches us that even those parts of us that have sidelined, that we've built ourselves on, you know, whatever it is, whatever the code is that we've laid down on, we hear people going past. The story teaches us that Jesus can always restore. And maybe for some of us in this room, what God wants to do in us and through us this morning is to restore your vision. To restore the parts of you that have been blind. Maybe you're a young person and people ask you the question, you know, what are you going to do after school? You ever get asked that question? All the time, right? Especially as you get into like year 11, 12, especially year 12, especially once you've just done your HSC and you have this pressure, what are you going to do next year? And you're like, I have no idea. Maybe this morning, God wants to give you a vision. Maybe for some of the rest of us, maybe we had something that we were working towards, but there's something that's just got stunted over time. Maybe this morning Jesus wants to breathe sozo into you, wants to restore vision in your life, wants to bring healing, salvation in your life. And I love that the story ended as blind Bartimaeus joining the road. He'd been sidelined his whole life, presumably, or most of his life, and yet he joins the rest of the people walking down, following Jesus towards something. And I love that because the way of Jesus, following Jesus, is a whole life thing. It's about your feet, it's about your hands, it's about your mouth, Jesus, Son of David. It's about your eyes and your vision, what you see. It's about the direction that you walk, not just your mind. It is definitely about your mind, but it's not just about what you believe in your mind, the certain doctrine that you hold, but it's actually directional. It involves your body and your emotion and your spirit. That's the way of Jesus. I love that. My question for you this morning is, what parts of you are sidelined? What parts of you are sidelined, and where might Jesus want to speak life and sozo and vision back in? Josh, you want to throw back up? I'm convinced wholly convinced that God speaks today. But maybe we're just not that great at listening or knowing how he speaks. But I'm convinced that God can speak to every single person in this room. And it's usually not in the way that we want it to be. It's not like an audible voice. It's not like, you know, a crazy big moment necessarily. But this is a thing we do at our church all the time at Greenhouse is, you know, at the end of the talk, we have a little bit of time and space. And we ask two questions. And the two questions are, God, what are you saying to me? And that can be as simple as, what is the little thought or the line that's coming up in your head? What's the image or the picture that God might be drawing you towards? What's the little nagging feeling or the situation that just happened this week or the thing that's kind of forefront in your mind? Maybe that's what God is speaking to you about. God, what are you saying to me? And then the second question is, well, what am I going to do about that? What's my next step? So, we're just going to take some time and maybe we can dim the lights if you would. Oh, that's good. Very quick. I like that. And I believe that God sent me here this morning to tell you that he wants to reignite some vision in your life. He wants to restore the parts of you that have been sidelined or static, stunted. Because he wants to help you follow the way. Not just with your mind, but with your feet and your heart and your wallet, maybe. And how you spend your 9 to 5 and your commutes and your time with your kids. When you study, let's just create some space. Just take some time. Just close your eyes, maybe, if that's helpful for you. Maybe you might want to place your hands out in front of you just as a sign that you want to receive from God. There's nothing magical about that, but, you know, following Jesus is about our whole body, and sometimes doing something with our physical body is really helpful. God, what are you saying? What are you saying to us? What's the whisper saying? What are you touching on? What do you want to restore and bring healing to? Just take a few moments just to wait on God. Then they reached Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell them to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you. Cheer up, he's calling you. Cheer up, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see. I want to see. I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you, has sozoed you." Instantly the man could see. And he followed Jesus down the road. God, thank you for my friends and my family in this room. You are the God of restoration, the God of creation, the God of re-creation, the God of new creation. Prophet Isaiah says, "Look, I am doing a new thing. Rivers through the wilderness, springs in the desert." God, you are the God of renewing. Jesus, your way is one of renewal. And so I pray that your Spirit would come this morning, even as we sing and as we spend time focusing our attention on you. You say, "Who you say I am?" Jesus, would you bring fresh vision into our hearts? Would you heal the parts of us that need healing? God, I pray for those of us in this room that feel stuck in our relationship with you, stuck in our point in life, maybe. God, I pray for fresh vision. Vision that would call us deeper in relationship with you, closer to you. Jesus, I pray for those of us in this room, God, that maybe you're calling towards church planting. God, I pray that you would lay that on people's hearts. God, those of us that you are calling to start new business ventures. God, those of us that you are calling to step into a certain field, step into leadership in some way. It's maybe something about church here, to step up and be part of something. Maybe it's about our family. You're calling us to bring reconciliation. You're calling us to do something bold. God, I pray that you would release fresh vision in this place. God, I pray for those of us that maybe are at the younger end of our lives. And maybe, you know, we've never really had a vision for our lives. We've just been walking it out. God, I pray that you would bring vision. Not vision from someone else. Not vision from our culture. Not vision on who we think we're meant to be, but Jesus, would you bring calling? For there is joy in your calling on our lives. So I pray that you would release that. Jesus, collectively, as a church, would you bring vision? God, I thank you for what you're doing. You're doing a new thing in this network between Greenhouse and Narara. God, you're doing a new thing in our movement. God, we pray for more churches. God, we pray for more innovation. God, we pray for the ways that we get to pioneer as a collective community. God, I pray that you would be in that. God, may we ever be listening to your vision and your calling. And may it lead us deeper into relationship with you. Jesus, thank you that you are here. That you hear us and you stop. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.